Now is the time, episode number 20. I'm Caleb Succo, and this is the podcast where we talk about how we can use our lives right now to worship our God. Friends, welcome to 2014. Man, it has been, well, I guess it's been a month already since I did my last podcast. So I had to take a little time to spend with family over the holidays, and boy, was it worth it. And, you know, I just thought maybe, you know, what I want to do in this podcast is I want to talk a little bit about resolutions and what our New Year's resolutions really tell us about ourselves. And just a couple little tips that I found useful for some of my goals, my resolutions in my life. But before I do that, I thought it might just be good to let you know what we've been up to over the past month, because it has been kind of a long time since our last podcast came out. I think it was December 11th. And now we are in a new year in January, already have the first week of January down already, 7 days, 8 days. Yesterday, in fact, we celebrated Ukrainian Christmas, because if you didn't know, in Eastern Orthodoxy, in Russian Orthodoxy, they celebrate Christmas 2 weeks later on January 7th. So we had a little celebration, had some family over and things. But really, it's just been a really good time to spend with family. And a couple of things just to note that, you know, for me were significant. One was that we got to spend New Year's Eve with our sending church, Discovery Baptist, and that was really special. And it was special in a couple of ways. Of course, it was just nice to be back in our home church with family and in a familiar setting. But also, I had the privilege of speaking, and I did it in an unusual way. And you may have seen this on our blog if you follow us closely online. I did post it on our blog, but the theme that we had for New Year's Eve was the Word became flesh. And actually, for quite a while, I have been working on John chapter 1 and memorizing it word for word. And so it's something that has really, you know, when you memorize something, it just begins to kind of brew on your inside, because you think about it. You repeat those words. You meditate on it. I think memorization and meditation are very closely tied in. And now I'm going off subject. But anyway, that's probably for another podcast. But I wrote... actually sort of like a poem, and I read that poem that was based on John 1, 1 through 14, that passage that talks about Christ being the Word and the Word becoming flesh. And so I read this text that I had written while my father and another lady from our church did a interpretive chalk drawing of John 1, 1 through 14, the Word became flesh. So it was just a really, really special time. If you have a chance, I'll put a link to that blog post up in the show notes for this podcast. And of course, you can always, if you want to check out any of the podcasts on our website, just the easiest way to do it is just go succofamily.org/ and then the episode number. So like this one is episode 20. So succofamily.org/20. 20. And that will take you right to it. So that was one thing, was the Christmas Eve service that I had a chance to participate in. And then the other big event that we did was just a big family get together. Now, I have 4 brothers and 3 sisters, so there are 8 children in my family, and we are all still living, thankfully, and my parents are alive and healthy, and all but one of us are married, and pretty soon all but one of us will have children as well. So we all got together except for my sister who is in Kiev and her family. We all got together. We went to the ocean, and my parents rented a huge house there that we all lived in for 4 days. And in a way, you know, it was a little bit crazy because we had, I think 14 grandkids running around. But it was good. And it was good to be able to spend that focused time with family while they're in close proximity. And, you know, we did devotions every evening together as a family. And I just think that that is something that I will remember. And I think my children will remember too. It is so important to have that kind of family. And honestly, I'm just grateful that God has given us that kind of family. So I hope that you had a great time over Christmas and New Year's. And maybe you want to share with me in the comments on this, on the show notes, on the blog post for this episode, how God used the holidays this year to help you grow. And he certainly used it with me, both in being able to speak from John chapter 1, verse 1 through 14, and also through our family time that we spent out at the beach. And I might use actually a full podcast just to talk about some of the ways to use family time and vacation time as a way to promote family worship. I think it's really important. But that also isn't for another podcast. So I know a lot of information or a lot of, you know, updates there. And well, besides that, you know, we were in a couple of churches in December, but boy, January is starting off. We were already up in Arlington First Baptist last Sunday. This Sunday, we are in a missions conference in Maple Valley at Taylor Creek. And then we go to Springfield, Oregon, and then we go to Port Orchard, Washington, and Puyallup, Washington. And so we're going to be in several more churches this week and mission conferences. And boy, we appreciate your prayers for us now because it's really going to get busy, and we have a lot of speaking engagements and a lot of travel. So we do appreciate your prayers for that. All right. Enough for the updates. Let's get back to the content for today's podcast. 4 truths that your New Year's resolutions reveal about yourself. Now, honestly, I'm not a real big resolution maker, but I do like to make goals. And so they don't always correspond exactly with the beginning of the new year. Oftentimes my goals are quarterly or monthly type goals. But I think these apply to whether it's New Year's resolutions or other goals that you might have in your life. But I find New Year's resolutions to be interesting. And I'm not sure how many other countries in the world do that. I haven't really heard too much about New Year's resolutions in Ukraine, for instance. But certainly, Americans, there's quite a few Americans that do New Year's resolutions. And I was just looking online to see what some of the statistics were. So I came across this site, and I'll put a link to it in the show notes, called Statistic Brain. And it gives the top 10 New Year's resolutions for 2014. And it also gives some other statistics about those resolutions, like, how long will people keep those resolutions and things like that. Well, I would suspect that we are already getting to the point in time, the 2 week mark, the 3 week mark, where people are dropping off on their resolutions. But, can you guess the number one resolution? It's lose weight. That one always just seems to be up there, right? Lose weight. Okay. So I'll just read these through for you. Number one is lose weight. The number two, top resolution for 2014, getting organized. And I wouldn't have guessed that one, but yeah, I can definitely see how. I mean, there are definitely some things I need to organize in my life and in our house and things like that. Number three, spend less, save more. That sounds like a pretty good one. Number four, enjoy life to the fullest. I find that one a little bit weird because, and I don't know, maybe people are make these resolutions more specific and measurable, but just a resolution to enjoy life to the fullest. What steps do you go through? How do you do that? It seems a little strange to me. Number five, staying fit and healthy. Okay, well, that's a good one. Number six, learn something exciting. Number seven, quit smoking. That's also would be a good one. Number eight, help others in their dreams. And I think maybe with some of these, they're sort of categorizing how people made the resolutions. And so probably that's why it sounds maybe a little bit vague. Number nine, fall in love. That to me is a little odd also, because it seems like most of how our culture thinks about love is sort of like something you can't control. Yet, here it is as number nine of the top 10 New Year's resolutions. I'm going to fall in love in 2014. Maybe it's people that want to fall in love again with their spouse. I don't know. That would be a good thing. And then number 10, spend more time with family. Yeah, I like that one. That is a good New Year's resolution. So those are the top 10 New Year's resolutions for 2014, according to Statistic Brain. Now, what do our New Year's resolutions say about ourselves? First of all, I think that you would agree with me as we look at this list that it tends to be a little bit selfish. Although there are at least two things in there that are not so selfish, which would be number eight, help others in their dreams, and number 10, spend more time with family. But things like enjoy life to the fullest, even staying fit and healthy, often can be selfish. And I think that we have to be careful when we do our resolutions that we're not so self-centered that we just make all of our resolutions about ourself. And I'll talk to you about that a little bit more later. So, first, New Year's resolutions, they tell us that we are failures. They really do. Why do people make New Year's resolutions? Because they know that the year before they failed. They know that the year before there were certain things that they didn't do correctly, certain things they wanted to do that they were not able to complete. And people just inherently, they recognize that they are failures. They might not say it outright, but New Year's, why would you, if everything was perfect last year, and you did everything right, why would you want to change anything in the year to come? Usually you want to change because you realize that, I could have done that better. I didn't do that the way I should have. I need to stop doing that because it is destructive to me somehow, like quit smoking or something like that, right? Or quit eating so much, or quit sleeping in, or quit watching too much TV. So we understand that we are broken. We are failures. And of course, you know, that is very scriptural because scripture tells us that we have all sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. Another thing that I think our New Year's resolutions tell us is that, you know, we really don't control everything. When it all comes down to it, you know, every time I hear in a movie, it seems like sometimes, especially in the Disney movies, where they say, just believe in yourself and nothing will be impossible for you. You can do anything. And I think, no, you can't. You still have limits. You're a finite person. And sometimes we make resolutions and then we realize that we have physical limitations. We have mental limitations. We have a lot of limitations. We have financial limitations. And sometimes we just can't complete those resolutions because of something that is out of our control. And it is a reminder that, you know, yes, we can plan, we can strive for something good, but ultimately it is God that's in control. And I love that verse from Proverbs 16:9 that says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord, or that is literally Jehovah, directs his steps. So, our New Year's resolutions tell us that we are a failure, that we don't control everything, and next, you know, it tells us that we need help. We really do need help, and we can't do all of these things on our own. We need family, and we need the church around us. We need God's help. We need supernatural help often in order to do the things that we ought to be doing. We really do need help. And then finally, I have talked quite a bit about idols, or at least I feel like I have. But I think that oftentimes if we carefully look at our resolutions, they help us to identify possible idols in our lives. What I mean by that is, if you look at your resolutions, you're looking often at the things which you believe in your heart will bring you the most satisfaction and the most joy if you can accomplish them. So, if I could only run 20 miles a week, or lose 20 pounds, or earn $20 more an hour, or something. Okay, we have these ideas that are ideals in our head, and they can easily become idols when we falsely believe that will satisfy the longing in our heart that is only satisfied by God. So we need to be careful that we look at those resolutions and we make sure that they are not pointing to idols, that we understand very clearly that it is God who deserves our worship and He is the only one who could satisfy those longings in our heart. All right, so those are the four truths that I think resolutions often reveal about ourselves, but I also want to give you just two tips, I guess I could say. And one is this: first of all, attach meaning and purpose to every resolution or goal that you have. Attach meaning or purpose to it. Oftentimes, we just have very simple goals or resolutions like read one book a week or spend X amount of time with family every week or stop smoking or stop overeating, okay? But it's important and it has been very helpful for me to attach purpose and meaning with every resolution. And then the second, and then I'm going to give you some examples after this, but the second tip that has helped me is not only to attach meaning and purpose, but also to attach an external motivation for every internal resolution. What I mean by that is some resolutions are internal. You know, they focus just on you, like health goals. It's just about me. I want to be healthier. I want to lose weight. I want to run faster and farther to be stronger, okay? Or even things like I want to read more so that I can be smarter and know more. Oftentimes, we have these, what I would say, internal resolutions. They're about us. But even an internal resolution can be connected with an external motivation, okay? So let me give you a couple of examples, okay? First of all, example. Let's say your resolution is to run 5 times a week, okay? You like to run. I'm not a runner. I'm a walker. That's one of my resolutions, is to walk so many kilometers every month, okay? So your resolution is to run 5 times a week. That's not bad. That could be a healthy thing. So it's not a bad resolution, but it could be a selfish resolution depending on your motivation. It could even be an idol. So my suggestion is to look at, say, a resolution like that, run 20 miles a week, and then add meaning and purpose and an external reason, external motivation for it. So for instance, my resolution is to run five times a week because I want to glorify God with my body and ensure that I am healthy enough to serve God and others. All right, so you just added deeper meaning to it. It's not just running just to run. It's not just running just because you want to be the fastest runner out there. It is running with a purpose. It is running with a purpose to honor God with your body. It is running with a purpose of maintaining your health so that you can serve others. All right? Or let's take the reading one book a week example, okay? And that's one of my goals, is to read one book a week. And with that one, we can add something to it like this. I want to be able to use my mind to glorify God and bless others. And I can't do that if I'm not continually learning through reading. So our mind is a powerful tool that we can use to glorify God publicly and to bless God and to bless others. And one of the ways that we can increase our effectiveness in that is by learning and by growing mentally through the reading process. So again, it attaches it to a deeper meaning. And I would say even a goal like we saw on there, spend more time with family, which in and of itself is a pretty good goal to have. But you can also attach deeper meaning to a goal like that. So for instance, if my goal was spend more time with family, then I might want to attach to that goal. I want to lead my family towards a strong relationship with God, and I can't do that if I don't spend time with them. So what we've done is we've taken all of these goals, these resolutions, we've attached deeper meaning, purpose, and motivation to them. And we've taken them from being something that might be very selfish and might even tend towards being an idol, and we've pointed them Godward and pointed them otherward towards others. And I think that that is something that has definitely helped me with my goals, and I hope that it would help you as well. And just, you know, before I close, let's look at one other verse, and that is Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. I think Paul was a guy that had good goals, good resolutions. And we know what some of them were, because he says in Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That was his ultimate goal. That was his ultimate resolution. And friends, that ought to be our ultimate resolution too, to press on for the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. And I wish that your 2014 would be filled with many opportunities to honor God, whether it is honoring Him with your health or with your family, with your time, with your finances, with your words, however it might be, so that Jesus Christ would get the greatest glory from all your resolutions. All right, friends, that is it for this episode, episode number 20. You can download these episodes, Now is the Time podcast, on iTunes. Just check the link on our on the blog on the right. There's a link there to iTunes, or just search for Now is the Time, Caleb Succo, in iTunes. And that way you can get on your mobile device, which makes it real easy to listen to. And while you're there, don't forget to leave some feedback and rating. I really appreciate that, because that helps get this podcast out in front of other people. All right, until next time, friends, may you be a blessing to others.